Morning, Honorable Justices.
Oh, that's a field promotion right there. When we start talking about Supreme Court cases, people get delusions of grandeur. Yeah. But thank you.
Welcome, Your Honor. First of all, Michael Quasgro, on behalf of Ms. Rodriguez, who's present, and would ask me to express her appreciation also for your consideration of these matters.
You
it's
bet.
Very serious. And obviously, I know the court understands the upset to Ms. Rodriguez, regardless of what happened. So if I can just cut right to the chase,
Do you want to reserve any time?
Half.
7.5 minutes?
7.5 minutes, yes.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to cut right to the chase, Your Honors. Issue number one is, in the response brief, the appellees quote the Daly versus Vaught case on page 5. And I'm going to tell the justices that I believe that that case helps us tremendously, and we appreciate it, because one of the issues they raise is mootness, and we believe this appeal is certainly not moot, because as quoted in the appellee's brief on page 5, the court in Daly, though it's a Fifth Circuit case, is very persuasive to the point that when you're talking about the suspension of an attorney, the mere blemish on the record, the stigma of having had a suspension, is sufficient for the court to have jurisdiction to grant some relief.
So it's not the end of the story that the suspension time may have run?
Absolutely not. And in fact,
that's exactly
what the Daly court said. Okay. And the other thing is they talk very much about the notice and the notice of the type of sanction, because in that case, the attorney paid the monetary sanction, but the court then suspended her also. So if I can cut to the chase on this and get right to what I think the major points are, and let me be brutally honest, it's a tough thing for me to do to argue, but it's not to the extent that Ms. Rodriguez was as forthcoming as she was. She stood right there and said, basically, paraphrasing, I made a huge mistake and I'm sorry. However, the appellee's brief argues there's been a waiver. There has not been a waiver. Factually, we have to remember that the original OSC only cited a $25,000 sanction as being under consideration by the court.
How did we get to the suspension then?
The court, okay, so this was my next point. Ms. Rodriguez unequivocally said, would the court perhaps consider a suspension?
You're starting too far down the line, because I believe Ms. Rodriguez also said a $25,000 fine would have negative impact on her ability to practice law.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Therefore, would you consider?
Right. But here's where I want to be clear. What that issue addresses is essentially the issue of waiver. Okay. We have to, again, be factually clear. I understand what she said. I understand where she said it in the context. But here's what she said. Perhaps. The OSC was never amended. The court didn't set it for argument on that issue.
What would have happened? What difference would it made?
Well, I believe she could have very successfully argued that a six-month suspension was way too much. In fact, I think under the circumstances, and I want to just point one thing out. I know it's in our brief. Because of what she did, the circumstances that led her to try to do this for this lady who didn't use text, didn't have email, right? So she was trying to accommodate her. I know that's in dispute perhaps, but remember, Ms. Aguirre's new attorney even said he did not blame my client for what she did. His words, quoted in our brief, because of the, I'll use it, social.
But that's fine. I appreciate that. But it was still filing a petition without an original signature.
Unequivocally, Your Honor. But the question is the background, because here's the key I'm trying to get at. My client was never given the opportunity to argue the severity of that sanction. She brought it up. She suggested it to the court. It is my position the court should have given her the opportunity to argue the severity of that sanction. It should not have been 6 months. And in fact, what the court did do at some point was suspend her ability to use ECF for filing at all, which was kind of moot once he suspended her ability to practice, period. But the point is that what she did, and this gets to the whole issue of does the punishment fit the crime? She didn't steal money from a client. She didn't go out and commit major fraud. And here's where the factual dispute that never was able to be argued to the lower court exists. The court made a finding without any ability to argue that somehow she fabricated this power of attorney. As I think we put in our brief and was said in the record, she had the ability to bring in her office staff to say, no, we saw it. And the debtor...
Didn't she file a declaration afterwards for her office staff? I'm sorry.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
Was it raised then?
I believe it was.
I don't think it was.
Okay. Well, let me just say this to the court. I don't think it matters because Judge Clifford never gave my client the opportunity to argue the severity of the sanction. Just like in the Daly case, it was issued maybe not sua sponte, but certainly without any opportunity for my client to argue. And so I believe that where the error occurred was in not giving my client, if not an evidentiary hearing, and perhaps the opportunity to cross-examine Ms. Aguirre, which would have been uncomfortable, but she was facing what turned out to be a very severe sanction. There are many other types of sanctions.
Wasn't the $25,000 a severe sanction?
Yes, but it was monetary, not a suspension of her license. And she wasn't given the opportunity.
But by her own statement, I'm sorry, you're gonna make the same point. No, go ahead.
It wasn't a suspension of her license. It was a suspension of her ability to practice in one court.
Well, I understand, Your Honor.
Okay.
But in my view, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other, because she was a certified bankruptcy specialist who made the majority of her income in bankruptcy court. So as a
doesn't consequence, that cut against the argument that one would think that a specialist would then
know better?
Yes,
we understand, Your Honor. Look,
let's not. There's no. What I don't hear, and I don't believe was really argued in the brief, was that there was no basis for a sanction. Right?
We are not arguing there was no basis for a sanction.
It's just which one, and according to you, the duration,
the severity, and what type of a suspension, because. And sometimes hindsight's 20/20, but they suspended her from using ECF, which was again moot. But I think she violated ECF / signature rules. I think she should have been suspended from using ECF so that she had to declare that every signature was in fact an original hand wet signature and file personally at the court, not lose her ability to practice in that court, her main court, for.
Well, she was willing to be suspended.
Well, if I can just say this, Your Honor?
Sure.
Okay. There was no formal notice that she was going to be, and I'm going to get to the court's comment. And her words were a one-liner. I understand the context, though. Perhaps.
Well, that's because she doesn't get to dictate. I mean, let's not play silly games with words. That's why she said perhaps. She doesn't get to tell the court what to do.
Well, that's
right?
Correct.
All right. So that's purely deference on her part. It's nothing else.
However.
I'd go on if I were you.
However, the court did not give her the ability to argue the severity or the length.
Well, that brings up an interesting point in this.
Go ahead.
Too, right? Because there was no opposition.
Well,
she was given the opportunity to speak by leave of court.
And she did. And she appeared. And she told the court, basically, she falls on her sword. She never argued she did wrong. She was arguing about the sanction.
But it's basically, I didn't know you were going to suspend me that long. That's the argument.
I would disagree with that characterization, but I understand where the court's coming from.
You're at about 7 minutes now, but this is a good pause.
I'm done for now.
Okay, you bet. Thanks. Okay.
I have a couple more points, but they're going to be very brief.
Well, if you want to do them now, it's your time. Okay.
I'll wait.
Okay.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court, Frederick Gaston Hall from the Department of Justice for the United States Trustee. This court should affirm the bankruptcy court's order imposing sanctions on Ms. Rodriguez. The bankruptcy court did not abuse its discretion in accepting Ms. Rodriguez's invitation and suspending her from practice before the bankruptcy court. Both Rule 9011 and the bankruptcy court's inherent authority independently authorize a suspension as a sanction, and the bankruptcy court did not abuse its discretion in finding both applied, where the undisputed evidence showed that Ms. Rodriguez filed a petition with forged signatures and committed other misconduct.
On that point, though, the debtor did dispute that it was forged.
Your Honor, the debtor is the one who asserted it was forged.
I'm sorry, debtor's counsel, Ms. Rodriguez.
Our appellant.
Yes, our appellant, yes. Sorry, collapse those two. Yeah. Should not. But there was a dispute that it was forged.
At a colloquy with the court, Ms. Rodriguez said she disagreed with the sworn declaration of Ms. Aguirre that the quote-unquote power of attorney was forged. She didn't put on any evidence.
Right, and that's the point, right, is that there was no evidence.
Correct, Your Honor. I tried to be specific there. The undisputed evidence was that it was forged because Ms. Rodriguez had an opportunity to file a response to the order to show cause. And I say opportunity. It was a requirement. It was a court order. You shall file a response. And she didn't. You shall file a reply to Ms. Aguirre's response to the order to show cause, which included this allegation sworn under penalty of perjury that the power of attorney was forged. She didn't comply with that part of the order to show cause either. So we have a procedure that the bankruptcy court put in place to accept evidence on this question, and she didn't do any of it. And even though she did submit evidence after the close of the hearing, as Your Honor noted, she didn't include any evidence about this power of attorney issue. It was just a question of what did the court say at the last hearing. So I think, you know, the evidence says what it says, and the evidence says this power of attorney was forged. I want to briefly come to something that opposing counsel said about the mootness issue. We agree that this is not constitutionally moot because she is currently still suspended, as far as I can tell. I do question whether the stigma argument applies here because, as counsel admitted, she's not challenging that she should have been sanctioned. So we have an instance where she's challenging a specific part of the sanctions order, but not that she should be sanctioned or three of the four sanctions that the court imposed. So I don't have a burden to show that it's moot. He has a burden to show that it's not moot, but I would just point that out. And we've already talked about her opportunity the whole point of the show cause process was to give her an opportunity to argue about whether a sanction should be imposed and the severity. The opportunity to say how long of a sanction the court should impose was at the order to show cause hearing, if not in a response or a reply that was required earlier. So she raises, perhaps the court would consider suspending me in lieu of a large monetary penalty. And she specifically noted, the court should suspend me for as long as the court thinks appropriate. So that was her opportunity to say, I think a 2-month suspension would have been appropriate. But she didn't do that. She just said, whatever the court thinks is appropriate. I think our brief speaks for itself. I'm happy to answer the court's questions, but I don't want to belabor this if the court doesn't have any further questions for me.
Judge Lehman?
I don't.
Judge Baker? Okay, back to the appellant.
Thank you.
I think I need to clarify, and I thought it was in our brief, but let me make it brutally clear. We are not arguing that she should not have been punished. She acknowledged she should be punished. The question was the severity. And I would further argue that when an attorney stands there in the throes of the situation and says, perhaps you should consider suspending me, that is not a waiver, which requires a knowing and intelligent waiver of the right to argue the severity of that sanction.
Well, arguably, the failure to respond to an order to show cause to file a written explanation is that waiver.
But she showed up and just basically fell on her sword. And remember, the notice she got was for $25,000. No mention of suspension at all. And I understand the appellee is doing what they should do. Talk about her offering that as an option. But that's what she did. She never waived the right to talk about it, to argue about it, or to argue that maybe she should be suspended for one day. I'm not trying to make things ridiculous, but what I'm saying is, when you look to the very initial record, she talks about having to hire an attorney, her Fifth Amendment rights, all of that, which, in my view, and as it says in the Daly case in page 5 of Appellee's brief, these actions do raise quasi-criminal rights. I mean, it's in there, and they argued that doesn't apply, but in fact, their own case does support that, giving her the right to some kind of right to be heard on being suspended. Because I just want to say the record is crystal clear. My client used the words, perhaps, I know Judge Lafferty is saying I should move on from that, but she didn't stand there and say...
It's not persuasive.
But I'm sorry?
I'm saying it's not very persuasive, but do whatever you want.
Well, okay, I appreciate that, Your Honor, because I do listen.
Okay.
My coaches used to say I was very coachable sometimes. In any event, the point is that then what happens, the proceedings are terminated, and she's suspended for 6 months without 1 5-minute ability to argue the length or severity.
Was she unable at that moment to say, you know, maybe you would think about 6 months, I think 2 would be fair because... Did she have the chance to do that then?
No, she didn't, Your Honor. I'll tell you why.
Was she restrained somehow?
Not restrained, but the issue of how long it would be or that he would even do it wasn't even raised by the court. The discussion, and this...
And that just was totally out of her mind. That might happen, huh?
She's raising it as an issue.
Okay.
But the issue of the length or severity was never discussed. And in fact, I don't believe the record shows the court said it was even considering it. The first she saw it was when the record came down, when the ruling came down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just here to say that I believe informal discussions, because the appellee points out what is very correct, she was never even placed under oath. These were discussions on the record. It was not a formal hearing per se, although I understand she was acting.
Let me take her this seriously. She's an officer of the court, and she knew it, and she was there in great candor. And those are all points in her favor.
Correct.
Whether she was under oath or not is not the issue for me. She would have been truthful one way or the other, I am sure.
And she was.
Okay.
In her view.
No problem.
And I appreciate Justice Spreaker's comment about the fact that she disputed that the power of attorney was forged. That's an issue that was raised by Judge Clifford in his ruling and lent him to the severity of the sanction.
But was there any evidence controverting that? There was no opposition, so there couldn't be any evidence controverting that.
Okay. I'll accept that, Your Honor. Except that I appreciate Judge Lafferty's comment that she was an officer of the court and was extremely candorous. So,
right. But that's the tension in bankruptcy. At some point, though, we are courts and rely upon evidence.
We understand, Your Honor. However, these are unique situations, which is why I go back again to the Daly case, even though I cited other cases, that more procedural protections should have been followed, if I have to use the word, sua sponte by the court. The court should have given her the opportunity. Because I will be quite frank, I believe had she gone back, there would have been arguments against an actual suspension. And please recall that suspension can also be suspended. In other words, you're suspended for 3 months, and you got to do your continuing education. You can't use ECF, and maybe you're limited to not filing petitions, only doing litigation. This was a petition. I don't know. But we never got there because we never had the opportunity. So I stand on the fact that I think my client never waived her right to argue all of that and was also never given the opportunity, because the facts of the procedural aspects are it was discussed as an option, and then the ruling came down, and she was never told by the court, yeah, I'm considering that. Back to Judge Lafferty's point, what would you be willing to think was reasonable, or something to that effect, because they were informal discussions. And at one point, I don't have it in front of me, so I apologize, but the court did say, I'm going to set it for a hearing, and then he didn't. I think I quoted that in my brief. So she showed up, and you'll see in the record, she's actually surprised the court was not going to allow further argument. He was only setting it in his mind as a holding date for issuing the decision. So I think the record very fairly characterized is that she assumed she'd get one more bite at the apple, and she didn't. And in the interim, she had hired me and was going to ask for a hearing where I could appear because I couldn't be there that particular day, and then was told the decision's coming down.
I don't know if this is helpful, but I mean, do you have a case law basis to say under these circumstances it should have been 2 months, not 6?
No, Your Honor, because...
Okay. So there's nothing in front of the judge that says, 6 months is definitely too long, 2 months would have been right.
I understand what the court is saying, but I go back to what I'm saying, which is, but she never got the opportunity to argue it because the discretion of the court as to what an appropriate sanction is factually based, and that's where the Daly case and all of our authorities say she should have had the right to make the argument.
There's no legal standard here that he didn't follow. He just didn't listen to her is the point.
No, I disagree. I think the legal standard is you should have given her the opportunity.
No, there's no case that says you never suspend somebody for 6 months for forging a signature, right? Okay, thank you.
No. I think I can take the hint. I want to ask if the justices have any other questions for me. Otherwise, I will adjourn.
Judge,
I do not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Justice Brecker?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will take it under submission and get you a written decision as soon as we can.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.